your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John. 1 Corinthians 13, the Lord willing, I want to be dealing with this very needy topic. In fact, it's the greatest. It says the greatest of these is love, so we ought to speak a lot about the greatest. Oh, Brother Grab, come ahead. He's going to read us through the next couple services. He has a number of letters that came in from our soldiers, and so I'm glad I was able to see that. He was shaking it around Wednesday night, and I just was so involved I didn't see it. So come ahead and lead. Read that here, please, as well, so we get it exactly right for our men over there. And then they'll get to hear their own letters get read.
Apparently all the soldiers that we sent packages to got them about the same time, or at least between the two of them, being the time to get there and the time for the letters to get back, it all got a lot of letters about a week ago, all thanking us for those packages that we sent out. And so this was September 13. God bless. I received your package yesterday. Oh, this is from Ken Sisson. Gentleman came Sunday mornings and is in the field a lot. So a lot of times he wasn't here, but he was in the field. I appreciate everything, and thank you very much. I'm listening to the tape now as I write this letter. I listened to Sunday school lesson earlier, and now I'm listening to the sermon on Bethel. I'm thankful the Tabernacle records their services so others can hear them, even though they can't be in the services. One of the translators was waiting to leave on a mission or something a week or so ago. And for some reason, he came into my room, and after a few minutes, religion came up. We discussed each other's beliefs until it was time for him to leave. He was a very stubborn old man, but I pray that perhaps the 10 minutes that he spent talking to me and my roommates will be enough to be a seed, and that seed will swell and grow in his heart. He either didn't know much about his religion, he seemed to know it well, or it's a pretty weak religion. When he asked a question about Christianity, we easily gave explanations of why we believe such a thing. But when he was questioned, his answer every time was, "This is my Quran." Because the Bible says it's a good reason for any Christian, and I'm sure because the Quran says it's a great for a Muslim, but when talking to an unbeliever, you need other reasons than that. Really not too much new around here. I haven't much else to talk about, so thanks again and God bless. Tell everyone I said hello and thanks for everything. He's written several different letters. He was the one who wrote earlier that, I can see why people would want to come over and reach these people. They're so sad. And the men don't work, and the women and children do everything, and men do nothing. So.
Lord willing, our brother Grab will read another one tonight, so. Need be, Brother Grab, just stand up, scream, holler, anything. That's what you have to do with me. That's too bad. You got me. Amen. I get involved with what I'm thinking about right at that time and sometimes forget other needy things. And so we need to remember, we need to read these letters that these fellows take the time to send to us. But there's more than one of the young men that have written and said that there's a great need for us to send missionaries now. Maybe Brother Joe can read that part tonight. And so we definitely need to get all this Arabic tracts over there now. We need to get it there now before some peacekeeping force that is maybe all aligned with the, what do they call it? United Nations, something hampers us. They say it's wide open to reach the Iraqis right now, and so may God help us to do it. By the way, there was a time when the Iron Curtain came down over in the former Soviet Union, and the time was to go right then. And many did go. Many did give their lives. But then there were others that it took time for them to get in gear. I think because of these open doors at different times, we maybe ought to be preparing missionaries to go who would work through a linguist and just go anywhere. And when that door opens, just flood the place with
with available missionaries. The problem is we don't have enough missionaries to go. But appreciate that good letter. And turn now to 1 Corinthians, if you're already there, chapter 13. The greatest of these is charity or love. And we're not told that just here in 1 Corinthians, but we're told that the greatest thing you can do is to love God. The great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and with all thy mind. And so we are to love God with all our heart and soul. The second greatest commandment in all the Bible, and on these two hang all the law and the prophets, the second greatest is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As you would that other men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. And it's not just in the New Testament. These commandments are reiterated in the New Testament, but they are given in the Old Testament. So throughout the Bible, these are the greatest things. And when they asked Jesus this, Jesus fired away right away, and they agreed with that. But they asked, who is my neighbor? And then the Lord showed them the Good Samaritan, the parable or whatever it would be called, of the Good Samaritan falling among thieves. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Lord willing, we'll go down to verse number 6 this morning, and then tonight we'll go from verse 7 to verse 13 of this portion of Scripture. So stand with me, please. We'll just read the last verse, 13:13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse number 13, as we read together. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And if you look at verse 14, what does it say? Chapter 14, verse number 1, follow after charity. The very next words, by the way, you need to be reminded this was an epistle. It was one flowing letter, and we have the chapter divisions were not in the original writings. They're just there to help us find our way around the Bible. So right after he said the greatest of these is charity, he said follow after charity. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. Bless it, precious Lord. Come now, we pray, in power, in blessing, in encouragement, strength. Dear Lord, we thank thee for the Sunday school lesson where we were admonished to be thankful and realize how blessed we are that our transgressions are forgiven. Then many of the songs today were about that same thing. And so, dear Lord, we thank thee that after we receive thy forgiveness, that then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we pray, dear God, that we would cleave to this matter of love and learn all we can about it. And we'll thank thee, Lord. Have thy way. If there's one without Christ, speak to that young heart and just bring them to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Look with me just for a moment at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man have sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then, if you will, down to verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So love is the theme of the fact of knowing that we have Christ as our very own. And then in 1 John chapter 4, look at chapter 4 and verse number 8 and 16. Here we have in verse 8 of chapter 4, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now down to verse number 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. So one of the attributes of God, and it says, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So perfect love, it says in the next verse, casteth out fears cast out when there's perfect love. So one of the definitions of love is God. Now I want to bring this to our attention tonight and as well as this morning, and I want to bring out about this matter of charity or love. Now they are synonymous. If you look these up in your Strong's Concordance, and they're just used interchangeably. And so charity or love, and this is the love of God. And I'd like to ask you a question at the very beginning, and then I'll ask it to you at the very end. Do you think people would want to name you charity? I know that they usually use that for just a woman. But you too, fella, could we call you charity? Could we call you charity, or would we want to call you the mean one? Or the unloving one? Or the miserable one? Can they come up to you and would they be able to say, that depicts the very nature of that young man, charity or love? By the way, that is the last name of a lot of people. You look it up, your love is a very common name as a last name. And then even some girls are called Love D and all that. But could they call you, would that be a symbol of what you really are? Like our brother Shay brought up the fact that his mother-in-law, she got saved, I guess, in 85, he said, and she died in 92, so she only lived 7 years, if I got that correct. And yet she was so filled with zeal and witnessing that she had a lot of people at her funeral, big, long list, and she devoted those 7 years when she after she came to know Christ, giving out literature and trying to reach other people with the gospel. Well, we could call her charity, I guess, couldn't we? Huh? Her daughter says yes. But I'm not concerned right now about Mrs. Shea's mother. I'm concerned about you. Can we call you charity? Can you call Pastor Harvey charity? Can you call your husband charity? Can you call your wife charity? Can you call your children charity? Oh, have six kids like mine. You have as many as six, and you won't be able to call them all charity. You'll think of some other attribute that will pop up. Hello? And then are we becoming more charitable as the days go by after we get saved? Boy, I can see that would be her name now, not before. Or I can see his name being that now, but oh, not before. Are we more charitable as we go on? By the way, it says God is love. And Christ is God. Therefore, we're to be like Jesus. We're to be like God. Yes or no? Come on, this morning. We're to be godly. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The ungodly are not so, it says in Psalm 1. But we're the godly. We're the righteous. We're the saved. We're the redeemed. When other people think of you, they should not say, he's the sarcastic one. They should say, he's the loving one. He's the one who weeps over sinners. He's the one that always has a good word for a lost person. He's always got a good word for his Christian brother or sister. He doesn't have time to talk about himself. He's too busy talking about the needs of others. Others, may this my motto be, that I may live for others, that I may live for thee. Others. See, what you talk about is what you're thinking about. And if all you talk about is yourself and your problems and your things and your good points and what you, the even the good things, sometimes people, all they want to talk about is self, self, self. That's a selfish person. That's not a charitable person. A charitable person is always wanting to help someone else out of their problems instead of always calling on someone to get them out of their problems. So I wonder how charitable we are. And can we call you charity? I'm talking about true love. Okay, so what is charity or love? God is love. Then we have in 1 Corinthians 13, the very first mention in the 13th chapter is in verse 4. This is the definition for charity or for love. And what does it say? The very first thing that comes up is charity is suffereth long. Well, long suffering is patience. Can they call you patience? Can they call you patience? Now they ought to, Luke, if I'm the pastor of the church, they ought to be able to call me patience as well as charity. I must be patient with people. And some sheep are pretty dumb. And I'm one of them. But as the under shepherd, some you can give them advice and they go just the opposite way. They don't want your advice. They've already made up their mind before they come and ask you. That's why I do most of my counseling from the pulpit. The Word of God will do the job. Some people always want to ask the pastor so they can pacify that the fact that they already know what they want to do and it's not right. Well, I'll tell you it's wrong every time if the Lord will give me grace. Because I'd rather have the friendship of heaven than the friendship of you. But then again, I want to have your friendship too. But you can't always tell people what they want to hear and be right with God. So patience. Long suffering. Are you long suffering with people? In other words, you suffer. You suffer with them. You're patient with them. That's the very first one mentioned. So if you are not if they couldn't call you patience, that means you're impatient with other people. Maybe you're impatient with God. So many of us are like that. We say, "Dear Lord, I want patience and I want it right now." Huh? Isn't that the way we are? No, you're not going to get it right now. If you're an impatient person, it's going to take a lot of work on you, but God can graciously give you more patience if you pray for patience. You know, I think that we're not praying in the right fashion so often. I tried to quote this whole chapter 13 every day of my life. It's a good portion of Scripture. Then the 23rd Psalm, I try to quote that. And then the 100th Psalm, I try to quote that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. 23rd Psalm, I learned that as a little boy. But this one, charity, the greatest of these is charity. And recently, I just forgot to quote it because I was not quoting it exactly verbatim and I wanted to quote it exactly right. Well, maybe it'd be better off that you didn't quote it exactly right and you did quote it to yourself. Because you can't go one day without this one. You need charity every day. You need patience every day. Then what's the second one? The second one is patient and then kind. Well, I flipped the page over here. Look at the next one. Charity is kind. So love is kind. How kind are you? Some of you, if you don't have your own way, you get so miserable. Your wife can't even stand you. And other people can't even stand you. That's not very Christ-like. It's not very godly. God is love. There ought to be the love of God manifest in your heart and in your life from the very beginning. You say, "Well, when I get up in the morning, I'm just miserable until I have my coffee." Well, you could ask God. You could get up a little earlier, have some time with God, and ask God to help you to not be so miserable in the morning. Because there's a lot of people who have to put up with your misery. Hello? You're to be kind. because you're to be like God. And Jesus is kind. Even to the unthankful, he's kind, it tells us in the scripture. Can they call you kind? Mr. Kindness? Mrs. Kindness? Or are you Mr. or Mrs. Miserable? All right. Then look at the next one. Envieth not. Envy. Oh, some people envy other people. They want what other people have. That's covetousness. You don't need to envy other people or their position or their beauty or their intellect or their agility or their physical strength or their great discernment in design or colors or drafting or painting or anything. Don't envy other people. That's an ungodly trait, to be envious. Be thankful for what you have and what God has given you. And just use it for God's glory. So we have, the first one was patience. Then what? Patience, kindness, don't envy. Now, vaunteth not itself. Doesn't boast or brag on itself. Love does not boast or brag of its achievements. It's not braggadocious at all. Love speaks in the fashion that the other is better than you are. So, some of us, we want to vaunt ourselves above other people. We think we're better than other people. That's not a very loving trait. Our brother Shea over here knows a lot more history than I know, and a lot more possibly history than maybe any of you in here. But he brought it up this morning that he just loves to study the history and gave us a lesson. But he wasn't bragging on himself. There's other people, and they know a little bit more than someone else about something. And all they talk about is the, you know, I'm so glad that I'm so well educated. Isn't that right? Oh, Brother Lightsey, he never met any of those guys in the army. A lot less rank than you, and they knew more than you all the way, didn't they? Smart Alex. They just know everything. They're braggadocious. They vaunt themselves above their the men who are under them. And sometimes they've got to act like they know more than the ones above them. For nobody can teach them anything. That's a sad commentary. That's not love. That's not charity at all. That's the wrong one. The one I really want to get to is this next one. Love is not puffed up. And I've got a number of verses for that. And all of the verses, except the one in Colossians, they're all in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about being puffed up. And the Corinthian church was the most gifted church, but they knew it. But they were the church that lacked the love of God the greatest of any of the others. They allowed all kinds of sin to come in. All kinds of pride prevailed. They were so puffed up about everything in the fifth chapter. They were puffed up about the fact of the man. They would not confront him and put him out of the church in a loving way because they were puffed up. Let's look at a couple of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's look at each one of these. These are important. We sure don't need to stay puffed up if we're puffed up, and we need to get someone to come along, and that's what I'm here for, to take the pin and just pop your bubble. Pride. Pride is the thing that God hates the worst. He's displeased with pride. Look at it says in verse 6 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, by the way, he does say full and rich here too. Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Paul says, we're weak, but you're strong. We need to realize that God doesn't want us all puffed up, thinking that I'm better than someone else. If God gives you ability, thank him for it. Now let's look at the other verses quickly. 5:2. 5:2. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. That's that one that I mentioned earlier. And then, I forgot the other one. Chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Chapter 4, 18 and 19, look there. And now some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? And in the spirit of meekness. Then go over to chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up. It may be detrimental to you to be the best in your class. Now, you ought to always do the best you can for the Lord in everything. What thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. But it might be to your detriment, you that are so intellectual. Peter couldn't depend on that, but Paul could have. Andrew, James, and John, they couldn't depend on it. Because they were brought up. And they said of John, too, Peter and John, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, but that they'd been with Jesus. They spent a good part of their early life fishing by the seashore. I want you to know that my dear wife, her family down there, many in Mill Creek, why they were brought up there opening oysters and going out fishing and shrimping and floundering at night. And they didn't make as much of extreme intellectualism and education. The great percentage of almost all of them in her whole area were not really intellectual, but they did go to church. In fact, they really went to church. In fact, they really, really, really went to church. And you know what they talked about? The things of the Lord. Not the things of the factory, because they didn't work in the factory. They just went out fishing. And they went to church. I said, knowledge puffeth up. I'll just take you to some area where they're poor, like in a certain respect like that. And then I'll take you down to the university down here in Austin. And the same age group, hello, I said the same age group of people. You have to say that because some of the young ones will still listen. But the a little bit older, the educators, I mean, just try to go down there to Mill Creek and talk to the pro fishermen who are in their 50s. And then go down there and talk to the professors at the University of Texas in Austin. And you won't be able to compare the two. I said, knowledge puffeth up. But charity builds up, edifies. We need more of God in church and the things of God in the Bible than we do the textbooks of this world and science. By the way, when I looked the word up, charity and all, and when I looked up some of these other words, it had reference to science as well in regard to learning. Science. 13, verse 4, we've already covered that one. That's the one that we're dealing with. Knowledge puffeth up. But then the other one is in Colossians. So turn over there for just a moment. I wanted to cover all these words. There's a danger that you and I can become puffed up even as believers. We need to make sure we don't get puffed up. I'll tell you how you get puffed up. Get around other people that are puffed up. And you'll puff each other up. Oh yeah, all the intellectuals. Well, aren't we so intellectual? Tell me something about this, sir. And then he spews his mouth and all his brains come gushing out. And the other fellow says, oh, that was masterful. Let me give you something. Oh, so sick of intellect. Let's talk about the greatness of God. Theology is what I want to talk about. The glory of God and the glory of His Word. But even there can be spiritual filthiness in regard to our knowledge even of the Scriptures or of God. We can be so proud that we know something about God that someone else doesn't know. Our Calvinistic friends are much about that. They think they're smarter than anybody. Well, I know the God that's smarter than they are. For He created them. Did we not read that verse? We should not think of man above that which is written. 2:8 tells us, Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Not after Christ. Did I get the right verse there? Maybe it's 3:8. Well, maybe it's not. Anyhow, puffed up. It's only mentioned in one other place, Colossians. Anybody find it? Puffed up. I maybe got the wrong verse there. I know one thing. We better get back to the Bible and we better stay away from this intellectualism. And that sure describes it right there. After the rudiments of the world. 2:18. Thank you, brother. 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, we got to go to the next one. Not unseemly. Charity is not unseemly. What that means is it's not shamefully and indecent in its thinking. Not seemly. And then what? Seeketh not her own. Charity doesn't seek its own. It seeks, as I said earlier, the welfare and the well-being of others. See, people that don't have any love, they have no concern for poor people. They have concern for their bank account and themselves and their wife and their children. I think it's terrible the way some people act when they become wealthy. Very dangerous. Seeketh not her own, seeketh not her own ways or her own desires or his own wants. Seeketh not her own. Charity doesn't seek to please yourself. It seeks to please someone else. That's why a lot of homes are not much good. You know why the homes are no good? Because the individuals just think of themselves. Amen? That's what's so dangerous about the internet, is that you're over there and there's no communication with your wife. Or if the wife is on it, there's no communication with the others in the family. That's why television is such a terribly destructive thing as well. Because you cannot be conversing and still watching and listening to something It's destructive to the home. You can't have communications, proper communications, and then you'll fuss over what you want to watch, and then you get enough money and everyone has their own TV in their own room, and then there's no communications between any of you. How are you going to have family devotions with that kind of mess? Hello? It takes all your attention. I thought the Bible was supposed to take all of our attention. I thought God was supposed to take all of our attention. Not movies, but the Bible. Soul winning, prayer. What does it say here? Is not easily provoked. Oh, boy. How is that? Would they call you the fact of, you know, my little boy Samuel, he's called Samuel. It means asked of God. And so I said, how's the little asked of God today? At first, he didn't like that. Now he's a little older and he's more serious. Who knows? He might end up a preacher. He's really serious-minded after a while. Maybe they beat some common sense into him. I don't know. But now I say, how's Mr. Asked of God? And he kind of smiles at me. Well, can they say that you're Mr. Not So Easy to Provoke? Or is he pop-off? Huh? Is he pop-off? You just say one thing and boom, he explodes. He goes 25 different ways, his brains, because he has not much at that moment. His intellect is gone. All he sees is one color, red. He's like a stupid bull. And what you want to do with them? A person that pops off like that, what do you want to do with them? You want to grab the ring on their nose and go, yeah! And put them on their knees. Huh? Proud people. That's what God wants to do with us when we are saved and we act like a bunch of sinners. Pride. Did you know that? That's the truth. If a dog would get up there and grab that bull by the nose, boy, he'll put him right on his knees. He'll just tear him up because he's got that sensitive nose. That's why they say put the ring in the bull's nose. You get a hold of that ring and you've got him. Don't care how big he is and how big his horns are. He's going down. Do you think the Lord wants to do that with us? Some of us get so puffed up. Oh, you can't even talk to him. He's so hot right now. Did you know that's a requirement of a bishop? Not soon angry. It doesn't mean you can't get angry, but you can't just pop off in front of people. Act like a little worldling. Have no control of your temper. Well, you better get control, young man. Young lady. Some of you ladies can really be a spitfire, can't you? Well, they ought not be calling you spitfire. Amen? They ought to, or Mrs. Popoff, the steam. No, they should call you Mrs. Submissive. Amen? They ought to call you Mrs. Control Herself. Mr. Control Himself. Well, this is good preaching, even if I am doing it. But it's not so easy to live it, is it, fellas? Huh? Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You ought to think good things about other people. Don't try to dig up all the dirt about somebody. You'll see enough, it'll just come out all over the place anyhow, amen? If you've got any discernment and you have anything wisdom about people, and if you watch people at all, you'll know, and it won't take long to know what kind of person they are. You'll be able to see it in no time flat that they're lazy or they're industrious. Hello? And usually your first opinion is the right opinion. Isn't that right, Brother Johnny? Huh? Being the sergeant major, you saw him come and go, didn't you? Sergeant, command sergeant major, 30-some years in the Army. You saw all kinds of every kind you could imagine. Mr. Popoff, Mr. Know-it-all. Mr. Puffed Up. Mr. Arrogant. Boy, we could start another Pilgrim's Progress book around here directly. Mr. Worldly Wise Man. He told me about one fellow that when we were out fixing my fence, I think that was the time, about one young man. He's a foreign boy, and all he does is go down and party down in Austin. What a sad life. For you'll not have any party in hell. Party time's over when you end up in hellfire. So he better get saved. Amen. I hope he does. Then he'll be sorry he ever partied at all. If he really gets born again. In the wrong kind of party. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. He doesn't rejoice in evil and bad things, but it says here, rejoiceth in the truth, and Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And then in 1 John 5:6, it says, the Spirit is truth. And then it tells us in chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 20, this is the true God. God is truth, and everything about God is truth. Very interesting verse in the scripture. It says, the love of God is perfected as we keep God's word. Look at these two verses with me, please. 1 John 2:5. Just look at these. We'll be through in a moment here, Lord willing. 1 John 2 and verse number 5 tells us, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You know how we can produce and be more filled with God's love is just obey God's word. Commandment, but an old commandment. Verse 5 is what I was reading. Hereby we know that we are in him. How can we know? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 4, verse 12, 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 12. Look over there with me. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Why is it so hard for you to love other Christians? Christian brother, why is it so hard for you to love other Christians? There are some of us, we can love the sinner, sympathize with the sinner, and we can't even get along with our own brothers and sister. There's something wrong in your heart. The love of God is not shed abroad in your heart. If you can't love the brethren and say, you go ahead of me. You go ahead. You get up there and you get the preeminence. You get the praise. Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. Oh, you can go ahead of me. We were at a garage sale just the other day, and the one dear lady, she kind of runs a business. She goes to every garage sale in town. And this was one of those, what do they call that thing, a estate sale. And she slipped and fell in the garage. She probably slipped and fell as she was trying to grab something out of someone else's hand. She fell twice. You probably know her. Huh? You probably know who she is. She's at your place. I'm everywhere. She's just like the demons everywhere present. You know? No, she just seemed to be everywhere. Only God is everywhere present anyhow. And even Satan's not. But anyhow, she seems to get around. She fell twice. Finally, she was sitting down at the table and still going through all this junk. Her mind's filled with things and junk. There's something more important than all that junk that you can take and put in your garage sale, yard sale, and resell it to make a lot of money. The love of money is still the root of all evil. I didn't rejoice that she slipped. She's such a big woman. It's no wonder she didn't break the concrete. I mean, really, she was big. I'm telling you. And I was afraid that her bones might get broken too. I was very charitable, kind, and loving. But she'd do good to be like that with other people. You could not call that woman charity. No, you couldn't do it. You couldn't call her kind. She doesn't know what that is. I want to get there and get it before no one else gets it. No, just let them have it. If God wants you to have it, He'll give you that or give you something better. It says in 1 John 2:10, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light." And then 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Well, what's one commandment? They came to Jesus said, and they said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" And he said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of God, to believe on Christ." That believes, we believe our way to heaven. We don't work our way to heaven. We believe on him and trust him, and he saves us. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by the one who did the good work on the cross and his good works himself. He's love himself, Christ. So if we have Christ and we've received Christ, then he comes in and he becomes our goodness, our righteousness, our perfection. He becomes our love. He becomes our kindness. He becomes our mercifulness. He becomes our lack of being puffed up, because Christ was never puffed up. He was always getting after the scribes and Pharisees. Hypocrites! Preached on that the other week, didn't we? Hypocrites. Because Christ was anything but a hypocrite. Jesus said there, and he said, I come to do thy will, O God. That's what he came for. But the way to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or unto salvation, or unto forgiveness, or unto mercifulness, or unto heaven itself. You believe your way to heaven. Some people are trying to work their way to heaven, and they're just working their way closer to hell. Because you don't get to heaven by works. You get to heaven by receiving Christ, who did all the perfect works. He's the perfection of the law. And when you have Christ, you have the perfection of the law, because Christ kept the law exactly right to the T. He's the law fulfiller. Well, I'm back to my original question. Now, if you haven't been saved yet, You really could be. Maybe you could have a few of these names even before you're saved in a greater way than some believers. But I'm talking mainly to believers here. So can they call you Charity? Would they want to name you Charity? And if they did name you Charity, and if your name was Charity, like Mark Barnes's little daughter, Charity, I hope she lives up to that name she was given. But if they named you Charity, young man, would it be a good name for you? Would they say, "Boy, he sure lives that name of charity or love, kindness, not being puffed up, merciful, not vaunting himself above others, and being patient. If you're impatient with people, now, even children, you should try to be patient with even children. And children oppose themselves. I mean, children are something else. But I'm talking about your own peer, someone around your own age, or a little bit older than you, or a little bit younger than you. I'm talking about a full-grown person. If you don't have patience with people, then you don't have the love of God like you ought to. Because others have to be patient with you. Hello? Everybody's got to be patient with us. Even Brother Shay. And he's just perfect almost, isn't he, sister? She says, yes, he is. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. And but praise God, you wouldn't even got saved without finding her, I guess. Maybe. Who knows? God knows. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, the best of us, sometimes we're pretty hard to get along with, some of us. But if we had more love shed abroad in our hearts, and the kindness and the love and everything, we'd be a lot easier to get along with. Hello? Even the best of us, even the ones that are filled with love rather than malice, we could use more of his kindness and love and mercy. And all the wives said, I'm talking about your husband now, okay? And all the wives said, oh, this is the only time we let women speak in the church. And then we're going to get you guys too. Now, don't you be any louder than those women. And all the men said, amen. They have a deeper voice and more masculine, stronger voice. Hello? Don't we all need help? Wouldn't it be nice if someone could sincerely listen to just in this next couple seconds? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody could sincerely say that since that person's been saved, that they're just about as close to perfect in regard to calling them charity. They're just about as close as they can get. Huh? I don't think that could be said of me, but I wished it could be. I think I could improve a little bit. Amen? And even though you're so perfect, I think you could improve a little too. Hello, you kids too. Are you charitable to your mother? Got to put up with you nine. I wouldn't want to be at your house. I have enough confusion in my own house without going to yours. Huh? Hello? What about it? It goes for the kids too. Boy, my little boy or my little girl. Boy, I could sure call him charity. I couldn't call the other one that, but I could sure call that one that. Huh? Huh? And let me finish up with this. You just never know. There's miracles with God. The very one you thought was a monster of monsters, hurricane, may end up that preacher. He may end up that one that is so godly, because God can do miracles, even with people whose attitudes are all messed up. Hello? Isn't he not gracious? Because he's kind to us. He can so change us. But we've got to want to be changed. And we ought to be asking him constantly for these things that we lack, that we might be better. Let's have prayer. Our Father, we love thee. Thank thee for thy wonderful word. Dear God, help us to be more charitable, more kind, more patient. Be filled with the godliness of God himself. Help us, Lord.